over, Mr.
Oh, I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Welcome to the Ewing Barbecue, where we talk about the 80s television show Dallas. My name is Mary.
And I'm Sarah.
And I'm Josh. And I got my still got my bottle of bourbon here if anyone wants to come join me for a few shots.
I'll come join you. And I'm going to look for someone I go to Michigan next week. I will keep you updated on that.
Yes.
Do we have any housekeeping?
I will just read, because I don't know when this is going to air. Ken Kershaw's birthday, July 15th, and Audrey Lander's on July 18th. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How appropriate awesome. That the couple was 3 days apart. They should have married. She should have been in the opening credits, but that's another story.
She really should have, yeah.
Tell us what you think. Do you think she should have been in the opening credits? I think so.
Oh, yeah. What are your opinions?
She should have. Morgan Brittany should have been in for a while.
Was she never?
Morgan Brittany, I don't know.
Nope. I mean, Leslie Ann Down was, who played Stephanie Rogers.
Oh, God. Mm-mm.
I feel like they got a little more liberal about putting people in the opening credits towards the end of the series when a lot of the regulars...
And they even left some of them in the credits for their final season after they left.
And didn't they put Tracy on the credits and everything, too?
No.
Are you sure at the very end?
Good.
Yeah, I know Porter McKay was.
Well, yeah, he was, but she was not. Beth Toussaint, who turned up, who was actually married to Jack Coleman from Dynasty.
Oh.
Tracy and she left acting years ago, and that is why they replaced her with Melinda Clark on the new series.
Hmm. When it seems like, or you could have just picked one of Bobby's other ex-girlfriends, but whatever.
Yeah, her.
Yeah, bring back April and have a like Walking Dead crossover. A zombie April shows up and just starts, Bobby, remember me?
Is that? And then all of a sudden, it's like her ghost comes through. Oh, that would it turns into Dark Shadows
then,
suddenly.
Yeah, and then you see the boom mic operator standing behind the curtain there.
Yes, 100%.
And then Michelle Stevens can no, we will not have Michelle Stevens turn up again with her Princess Diana haircut there. Oh God, yeah, I saw that. Oh yeah.
Oh right. Anyway, so tonight we're talking about season 2, episode 10, Act of Love.
Why don't you worry about a thing, Daddy? I'm watching after the young interest.
If there's anything that I ought to know about, give me a call, you hear?
Oh, I surely will, but there's nothing going on you should know about, Dad.
Well, I'll drink to that. And to JR. And longer and more trips.
How can you be 6 weeks pregnant?
Are you trying to tell me, JR, that you may not be the father of our baby?
You tell me.
I've been just as faithful to our marriage vows as you have.
It was written by Leonard Katzman.
His first episode that he wrote.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Is it? Oh, nice. And it's a good one, obviously. Directed by Corey Allen and aired November 19th, 1978.
And
still pre-member.
And a couple of notes. It was the first truly serialized episode of the series. This is where they shifted. Even though after there are a couple of episodes here and there that seem have an episodic feel to them, but the continuing storylines do go on. And in the casting notes, we had
Nicholas Koster,
who played Joe Morris, and he later returned as Assistant District Attorney Sloan in season 2. He also played Blair Warner's father on The Facts of Life. Okay, here's something interesting: is Nancy Blair? I'm not even going to try to pronounce that right. Makes her first of 5 appearances as Bobby's secretary, Connie, replacing Lisa LaMole, and she was eventually replaced by Jenna Michaels as Connie.
Okay, but Connie, it says the first of 5. But isn't Connie on there later?
Yeah, played by Jenna Michaels. So they just kept swapping actresses here. They were kind of pulling a Jenna thing here, or the Griswold children, in every vacation movie.
Right.
Writer-actress Liberty Godshall appears as JR's mistress in this episode. And she went on to write episodes of 30-something, Once and Again, My So-Called Life, and appeared on Charlie's Angels.
What's her name?
Her name is Liberty Godshall. She was also on the A-Team.
Cool. I love My So-Called Life,
she was also on the
A-Team
and 30-something as well.
I love 30-something.
And those are casting notes for Act of Love.
I just a side note, I just listened to this amazing podcast about my so-called life. If you liked that show anywhere near as much as I did, it's called My So-Called Podcast. And you should totally listen to it, because the last episode, they talked to Winnie Holtzman, who was a show creator, and she gives like a lowdown of what was supposed to happen.
Interesting.
Okay. Anyway. The trivia kind of here is weekly rating is 41.
Okay.
Which is a huge plummet from the episode before. But again, like you said, episode before, I'm sure they had all kinds of stuff like Tonight on Dallas, and it was like the plane crash and all that stuff. So then I guess everybody watched right. And then something must have been on TV this week, because it plummeted to 41 from 18. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big
Wow. That's a big jump. Maybe there was like a TV movie.
And a couple of set things here. This is the first episode where the new Ewing Oil set is seen. Mm-hmm. And we have the first mention of the Cattleman's Club, which
I love the Cattleman's Club,
which was their lunch spot through season 5, and then obviously it was replaced by the Oil Barons Club from season 6 through 14 or 13 or however you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. But the Oil Barons Club always seems so
fancy. Oh, it did. Cassie, would you take Mr. and Mrs. Ewing to their table, please?
But yeah, we don't do that around here. Unless you get real fancy places. Not at lunch.
Right.
No, but we're not eating at Capitol Grill or anything like that. So
this episode had the first note I have is it is a very liberal use of a Steadicam throughout this entire
episode.
Right
there on my those camera angles were whack.
Crazy. Yeah.
They were going behind people. They were shaking. They were moving. I'm like reaching for the Dymatap. I'm going, what the? Oh my God! I'm getting nauseous.
I know. Like we're in the pool with Pam, and like there's crazy angles. Bobby jumps in.
And then you had Jock riding the horse, and it almost, because they were back in California at this point on a soundstage, and it looked obvious that they were on a soundstage.
Yeah,
it looked really bad. Obvious. And there was
obvious.
No wind.
Yep. They kept. You could tell that they had like a fan just off camera. Because I'd just be like, a little bit of hair is wind, but it's such a difference from what it
and
was.
And you could tell the background looked kind of matted and a little piece of cardboard
back there.
It was like an episode where in the future season where Ray and JR had a little tangle and they were throwing each other against the wall in the living room, and you could see the set shaking, like, whoa.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Oh my
God. That is a very Dark Shadows moment for
now. Yeah.
Yes, it was like a piece of cobweb with some wallpaper on it. And it was like, wow, wow, wow.
It almost felt like a curtain, even. It was like the curtain was waving. I was like, oh, God.
So at the beginning of the episode, Lucy is just like, why don't I have a car? Why does everybody have a car but me? Like, I'm 18. I want to go places. I can drive fine. And, like, they're all like, well, JR doesn't want you to have a car.
I think it's dumb that I don't have my own car. Morning, Granddaddy.
Morning, sweetheart. Rajani.
Still hurts. But if I had a car, I wouldn't have to walk on it. Now, JR's going to get you a car as soon as he feels you're ready for it.
I don't see why. It's up to JR. Don't you think I should have a car, Granddaddy?
You leave him out of this, young lady. He spoils you rotten as it is.
Well, then I'm going to go talk to JR about it right now.
My question is, why does JR get...
He's not your dad.
Exactly.
Dog and Ellie should make the decision.
But, you know, the thing is, Lucy needs a car or she's going to steal someone's car and go on a crime spree with someone in a shaggy van.
Right. And if that's the reason, like, well, you just stole your uncle's car and went on a crime spree, then they should have just, like, pointed that out. And then, like, that's a fair point. But they're just kind of like, well, JR doesn't want you to have a car.
Well, there are plenty of people here, Lucy, that are more than happy to take you wherever you want to go.
Oh, I hate that. Well, maybe.
And Lucy's like, look, I have places that you're not going to want me to go that I need to go. So back off.
Mm-hmm. She should get a car.
She has some, like, inappropriate... She has some, like, 40-year-old men she's probably meeting up somewhere, you know? Girl needs a car.
But she's going looking for the next shaggy van, too. You know, Tyler.
Right.
Or maybe she's going for another open mic night so she can sing.
Right. right for her budding musical career.
She can do a Millie Vanilli. She can do that Millie Vanilli thing and lip sync her way through another. Don't forget. Girl, you know it's true.
I'm trying to think if I'm going.
Blame it on the rain.
I love that song. That's on my.
I knew they didn't sing. They were on like Arsenio Hall one night, and they were supposedly singing, and then they were interviewed, and I heard their voices, and I go, they didn't sing that song. Those voices couldn't sing that song.
I totally had the cassette single.
I had the full album. I still do.
Awesome.
So, and Lucy also was insisting that J.R. tied one on the night before.
Your uncle's a trifle under the weather.
Oh, did he tie one on again last night? Must be a terrible strain on you, Sue Ellen.
I don't think you're showing your uncle the proper respect.
Right. Well, come on, if we're gonna go, let's go.
Wait, that was hilarious. She's just like calling him out.
She just loves to instigate.
She does, and I love her for that. And this is the first time we see Pam using the Ewing name to get shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm awfully sorry. Oh! Mrs. Ewing, how nice to see you. Do you have a table for three?
Certainly, right this way.
Being a Ewing does have certain advantages.
Like, she uses the Ewing name to get in the restaurant when everyone else is waiting.
Oh, that's right.
And then she says something like, see, it
comes in handy.
Comes in handy sometimes.
She's learning.
Yeah. Like, huh, okay.
And then Sue Ellen shows up with her little Jackie O outfit on there, looking like Jackie Onassis. I'm like, what is this 1963?
Well, she's meeting with Cliff, so she's got to be fancy. Maybe that's her meeting a politician.
Well, he was Kennedy-esque, so she was going for that whole.
Yeah.
But no. Mm-hmm. That was awkward in the restaurant.
That was super awkward.
Oh, Sue Ellen, you know my brother Cliff? We met.
And this is Ewing. Always a pleasure.
I'm sure. Well, you have a pleasant lunch now, Pamela. Mr. Barnes.
Bye. It's really warm, isn't she?
And they're like, oh, hey, have you guys met? And they're like,
we met in my bedroom last night. Do you want deets?
Yeah. Your brother gave it to me last night. Oh, God.
Shall we shag now or shall we shag later? So then, yeah, we go to Bobby's office and he's meeting with the with that person, Nicholas Coster. How many times are they going to use the name Faraday in the series?
Like three or four. It's a lot because I've
thought
of that years ago.
Are all these Faradays related?
Mm-hmm. I think they just forget they use it.
So is this a different Faraday than like a couple episodes ago?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It is. And there is at least one more, and it's like later, like season 9 or 10 or something. And
no, there's
two
more.
There's Jeff? Because there's Jeff Faraday later.
You're right.
Right. And then there's Jeff's sister.
Oh, yeah.
Faraday,
yeah.
Yeah, they do use it. And I'm like, they have to know that's an odd name. It's not like you're using Smith four times. You're using Faraday four times. Right. Like, that's weird.
Like Faraday.
And they're different writers, most of them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Can't you think of something else? Yeah. What are they throwing darts at the wall and it just hits the name Faraday? Oh, we're going to use Faraday again.
And this is, you usually notice the wallpaper, and I noticed the wallpaper in this, in the dining room at Southwark, this time hardcore. I don't know what, it just stood out to me, the like green and orange.
Right.
What?
You said the dining room, right?
I hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dining room.
Oh, yeah.
And then Lucy's eye roll at dinner. She just rolls her eyes like, oh.
She's a bitch.
Okay, Lucy, you're there for comic relief, and just go sit in the corner until we need a laugh.
She is.
Just bring out this poison dwarf. And Charlene, we love you.
Oh, so there's the whole thing where, like, JR's got to go out of town, and Sue Ellen's like, oh, you're going out of town. Well, let me drive you to the airport.
Let me walk you on the plane and lock the door.
What time's your flight, JR?
11:30.
Well, maybe I could take you to the airport.
No, I have my secretary do that, darling.
Of
Oh, don't be silly. I'd love to. We haven't had any time together to talk and get to know each other again. Let's do it.
All right. So be it.
Yeah. And he said, I have a secretary to do that.
No, JR, you have a secretary to do you.
Like, that is... In what world is that a secretary's job? To take their...
I think, though, back in the...
Like, that's above and beyond.
Back in the day, like, it was... That was, like, the norm, because I remember being younger, and my dad, he was the CEO of a company, and I would go see him in his office, and, like, she would, like, go get his dry cleaning for him. Like, she... Yeah, and she really? Would go and actually pick up, like, birthday presents for my mom. Like, weird stuff, like, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So they're almost like a personal assistant in a way.
But I know, I don't...
Okay, so,
I
mean, so your father never bought your mother presents. It was always being...
No, he did, but I think when he just forgot things, she would run and get them for him. You know.
Now, JR, he gets on the plane... I don't ever remember anyone entering from the rear of an airplane. I always get on the front of the plane because he comes in the back and he goes like off to the side. It's like,
yeah.
Do they have doors on the backs of the planes? I've never.
Maybe in 1978.
Unless it's like kind of the middle. I guess it's not, because I was like thinking if it's first class, like maybe he's walking up. Because international flights are like that. You walk in and then. You go to one side for the front.
Okay.
Or first class.
Well, that's where the McAllisters sat. You know, the parents sat in the front of the plane, and all the kids were in the back when they left Kevin at home.
Right. Yes.
And Uncle Rob, that cheapskate, he kept, you know, Uncle Frank, or rather, he kept stealing all the, these real, put them in your purse.
The silverware?
If it helps any, I left my reading glasses at home. Well, you left your kid at home, but
yeah.
And then Jock is in the office, and he's like completely useless. They're like, everything's being done around him. He's walking around, he makes the first reference to Punk Anderson, though.
Oh yeah.
Who is?
It's not the first reference though, because in an episode before, he was gonna go out drinking with Punk.
Oh, that's right. But it's. I love Punk. It's the first one we've had in a while, but Punk's real name is Maynard. Punk Anderson, which Maynard Anderson was the name of the politician that Jenna Wade was.
Oh, that Jenna Wade was. Oh,
talk about name.
So it's another weird name.
Talk about recycling names. I mean,
and it's another weird name. It's not like it's John or Morris or
Maynard.
Although I know two people named Diane Taylor, but they just have different middle names that they use. So
I went to school with two Kim Wisniewskis.
Okay.
One in high school.
Okay, that's weird. What's that last name?
Wisniewski.
I wouldn't even. That sounds like a medical condition.
It sounds like Polish.
A condition. I'm sorry.
And it's one of those things I never even put together until I was on Facebook, and I was like, and they both posted, and I was like, why did I never notice that?
Well, that's what the Diane Taylors. I noticed them both post next to each other, or they were both online at the same time. I go, oh my god, I know two people with the same name. Now I have to make sure I'm messaging the right one.
Right.
Don't fuck up.
No, especially I'm saying something bad about the other one. That's right. Man, that one's a real witch. No.
And we see Bobby in his Speedo in this episode. When he jumps in the pool.
Don't get me wrong. It's a little
This is a wacky wardrobe thing we had episode, because we had Sue Ellen looking like Jackie O. We had Bobby's Speedo. And the pièce de résistance was JR's robe. What
right,
the
in
hell?
The hotel room.
Could the lads could be dangling there. I mean, the thing was so short.
Don't move your leg, JR.
Yes, please don't move your leg, for God's
sake.
It's a pre-Sharon Stone male version of the Sharon Stone Basic Instinct scene.
But with Larry Hagman.
We don't want to see any saggy balls.
That's where he got that song that he and Patrick were singing in the season finale during the shooting. When they broke into one of their famous pranks. He goes, "Do your balls swing low? Do they swing to and fro?"
Oh, God.
Oh. I'll re-mention that when we get to that episode so we can put it in proper context.
Okay. Oh, my God.
But
so Sue Ellen is getting sloppy. She's openly talking to Cliff on the phone, like on the main telephone.
Hello. I know. He just fell asleep. Of course. He's going away for a few days. Of course I'm sure. I'm taking him to the airport myself. Make sure he gets on that airplane.
By the stairs.
Did we skip over her scene at lunch with Pam? With the attitude that she was giving Pam?
You don't mean to tell me that you have brought me in to lunch with you to talk about having a party? Yes. Well, Pamela, I think that's just a little ridiculous. Why didn't you mention this at the house? I thought this was terribly important.
Super
attitude. You brought me here to talk about a party?
Because she was so worried that she was going to get called out for fucking her brother.
That is my good. The lunch.
And so I think she was like so like anxious about that. And then she's like, wait, you brought me here to talk about a stupid party? Like, what?
Oh, don't make it obvious to Ellen.
Right.
I'm with the wrong Barnes right now. And
And then did Pam start getting a southern accent again halfway through that?
It gets thicker. I mean, in the very beginning, it was that weird thick accent, and it seemed to let a little, and I think it is coming back.
Like she's just randomly like, oh, right, I'm supposed to be from Texas. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm slipping out of it. I'm slipping back into my normal voice that I used in the movie Earthquake when I played a prostitute with George Kennedy, of all people. But,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's funny because she and George Kennedy were in that movie together, but they were never on Dallas together. Just like...
Oh, they weren't.
Priscilla Presley moved... She moved Priscilla out Presley. Of the ranch, and then George Kennedy moved in, but they were in Naked Gun together.
Yeah.
And Sue Ellen's line when she's talking with Cliff, why, you Bonds are disgustingly poor.
Right. Sue Ellen, oh my God.
That was an interesting conversation between them because he goes... I've been beaten, but I've never lost. And she says,
right.
Well, I never hang around with a loser. That's why I'm here with you. I'm like, okay. Wait till later in the series.
I know. Right. Big hug.
Poor Cliff.
I have a question, and I think maybe I'm just not understanding these words correctly, and I'm probably just being dumb. But so the three Bs, right? Booty,
booze, broads, and booty. Yes.
Okay. Isn't booty and broads like the same?
I mean, I would think.
Or is there a different? Is booty referring to something else?
Maybe
like
booties? It's the same thing. Booties referring.
Or is it money?
Like booty, like pirate booty.
Like that's what I'm wondering. Like, is it supposed to be something different than booty? Like booty that we would say today?
I'm gonna quote Rose McKay later in the series when she's in the front with Carter. Sex, Mac. It's all about sex.
Yeah.
I guess, but I just like could we cut it down to two? I don't know.
Like
no.
Two Bs, but
good things come in threes. So.
Okay, that's true. That's all right.
So I did mention what does Pam do at the store, but now she's a buyer.
Now she becomes a buyer. Yes. Lucy staying the night at Muriel's house is the first time we hear about Muriel.
First mention of Muriel. Yep. And I love Jocko's, they still name those kids that these days?
Yeah.
That was a weird comment for him to make.
And then they said something like, oh, well, she's a very quiet girl. And I think Bobby or someone goes, well, geez, what's she doing hanging around with Lucy?
Right. And I don't believe for a second that Lucy was staying the night at her house. Like,
no.
That was an excuse, and she was going to a bar. She's going to a discotheque.
Well, in a later
she's going to the one from Lessons.
Yes, Blue Sky.
She's actually going to hook up with Ray's ex-girlfriend, Maureen. They're going to have the first lesbian scene. she and Maureen were having a thing going on behind Ray's back, you know.
They just couldn't show it on Sunday television.
Lucy's an equal opportunity, you know. She's into whatever floats your boat now, so.
You never know. So that whole thing with Pam having to be part of Bobby's business deal is so dumb.
Yeah.
And he and Mrs. Faraday are coming out to the party, along with some more of his decision makers. said he was very anxious to meet you, especially Pam.
Pamela? What's Pamela got to do with this?
You know these old lying conservatives. He said he places just as much importance on a man's personal life as he does on his professional. So I think half the battle is going to be Pam.
Then start celebrating, buddy. If that deal depends on Pamela, we got that contract in our back pocket.
I hate it. I hate everything about it.
Yeah, that was very 70s chauvinistic.
It just doesn't make any sense to me, and it's like a weird... It's just like another weird plot point.
Well, we want you to meet one of Jeff Faraday's distant relatives who's going to be the birth father of your adopted child, so because it's another Faraday.
Maybe. They're all related.
They're all related. I was about to say something real ugly.
So in
Southern,
this...
I can say it. Oh God, I said Deliverance.
You like canoe rides?
I felt a little.
This didn't creep me out.
I was a little offended by Liz, and she said, because Bobby's looking at like the clothes that people are modeling, and she says something like, she throws shade at, like, she's like, do you know how many 5'3 matrons think they'll look good in that? And I was like, well, maybe I'm a 5'2 matron, bitch. What's your point?
And what about the one that's 5'4 or 5'1.5? You know, it's just like she wants to do Bobby. Yeah, she wants him. She wants him. She would totally jump that. Yep.
She would. Yep. Give him the chance.
Right there in that buyer's room.
With the ladies walking in and out.
Yeah. Hold on.
Well, hey, if Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos children can walk in on them having sex on a regular basis, then yeah, that's been talked about recently.
Guess I'm not
lock
up
the door,
on my,
people. Lock the door.
Right.
So Sue Ellen tells everybody she's pregnant. You know, she does the whole doctor's office thing, and Dr. Danvers asks, you know, if JR is coming in for his checkup, and if Jock and this and that, and then Jock calls JR on the phone and puts Sue Ellen on. And
JR.
Sue Ellen, what are you doing calling me here at work?
Well, I have some important news for you.
All right, darling, go ahead.
I'm pregnant, JR. We're going to have a baby.
A baby?
JR?
Oh. Oh, my, that's wonderful.
Are you truly happy?
I am. Oh, yes, I am. Now, listen, darling, it's too late to get a plane out tonight. I'll catch a flight first thing in the morning. Now, you take care, Sue Ellen. You hear?
I hear. I love you, JR.
Take care. I'll see you in the morning. Say, what did Daddy say?
Oh, he's truly happy. Everyone's truly happy. I'll see you tomorrow.
How about that now?
At the end, she says, I love you. He doesn't say he loves her.
I know that.
Of course he doesn't, because he's with his mistress. Mm-hmm. He's not going to tell his wife.
And then he lets that cheesy whoop out in the mirror when he's looking in the mirror. He's like, woohoo!
Right. Because he's excited, and then all of a sudden he's doing some math, and he's like, wait, what? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Well, that comes a little bit later, but because then we go back to
Right.
We go back to Bobby giving the Pam the dress so she can go to Paris, but she's not going to Paris.
Right, and it's just I hate it. I hate it's dumb.
What happened?
I think that part is so dumb. Yeah. Like that's like the whole thing where she's like, "No, I'm not gonna go because my career is not worth inconveniencing you at all." Because
this is the 70s, and I want to be the wife of a chauvinist. Yeah.
Right. I just hate it. It's like they'd keep this is, and I think they this is a plot point that's gonna get brought up over and over and over again, and I'm already sick to death of it.
Yeah, that it's like, ugh.
Yeah,
it's just going around and around and around and around. That's a low point.
Yeah, that's totally my bad. Ugh. But then we go to celebrating Soellen's pregnancy by toasting with champagne because it's the 70s.
Yes, let's give your pregnant wife some champagne. You give her.
He's probably like, "Do you want a cigarette?" That one says,
you want to snort a few lines on the table, yeah, with Miss Ellie?
Oh God, probably not.
Why don't you go smoke a cigar with Jock too, and have some brandy with him too?
Right.
But then he starts putting together, wait, so when were you pregnant? 6 weeks? No, it couldn't be possible. And he came home. He was away for 10 days. And but you came home for the weekend. No, there's something doesn't add up here. Mm-hmm. And she delivers the line of the episode, which is my great. Mm-hmm. I've been just as faithful to our wedding vows as you have.
Now tell me everything. How far along are you?
About 6 weeks, nearest we can tell.
6 weeks? How about that? 6 weeks? That was right before Lucy's birthday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right there.
And now you sure it couldn't be longer than 6 weeks?
Well, I don't think so. Why?
And I don't see how you can be 6 weeks pregnant.
Why, I don't understand.
Well, I do. Seems it's been longer than that since you and I could have conceived a child. If I remember correctly, I was down in Austin for 10 days, right about that time. Yeah, it was that time. I repeat, Sue Ellen, how can you be 6 weeks pregnant?
Well, I know we don't practice our connubial rites with anything approaching regularity. But you did come home from Austin for the weekend. Is it possible that you don't remember? It happened so rarely, I thought it might make an impression.
No, something wrong here. Something wrong. Now, even if I did remember, I think it's mighty peculiar that after 7 years of trying, you should get pregnant that one particular night.
Stranger things have happened.
Not to me, they haven't.
Are you trying to tell me that you may not be the father of my child?
You tell me.
There's nothing to tell. I've been just as faithful to our marriage vows as you have, darling. That's the only thing that interests you, isn't it? That precious Ewing heir. No matter who's this.
And he's all like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Like, oh.
Oh.
Mic drop.
Boom. And then we get our first episode of Cliffhanger Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But at this point, he doesn't realize, even though he's done the math in his head, he doesn't realize who it's with, correct?
He would lose his mind.
Yeah, he's in for a shock. And of course, I think Ray should be taking a paternity test as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think so too.
Faye just never did anything with that. Like, it was just like a uh-oh in the middle of the night, and then she wrote him off the next morning. So this is like really like the first thing they're gonna, the first affair they, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's just quickly dumped and never heard of again.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
So that is the end of Act of Love.
Yes, and so what kind of?
Oh, but let's not put JR slap Sue Ellen.
Oh, that's right. Slap your pregnant wife.
Let's mention
slap
that.
Slap your pregnant wife.
Let's mention that.
In that conversation? Yeah.
He slaps her.
Slap your pregnant wife. Okay, yep.
Not
and Mary, okay. What's your tagline?
Fuck you, JR.
He's gotten that like 3 times in a row today.
I have. I feel like I'm going to be able to say it many, many more times.
I was going to say, what kind of a rating do y'all give this episode?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mine's 4.5.
Nice.
I just like Sue Ellen.
I'm sticking with that too, yeah.
I'll do that too. It's fair. It's a good episode.
It is, and it gives you a lot of information, and it's a good storyline, and
starts getting good. Yeah.
It's the first serialized storyline.
Yeah,
and I love Leonard Catchett. So that this is the beginning of the good for me. This is it. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Every episode from now on, I like or I love.
Because the more serialized it becomes, the more interesting it becomes.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's just so many things happening at the same time.
Well, no, there's one in a couple episodes that just kind of weird for me. But, yeah, we'll get there.
Okay.
Because there are still a couple of episodes that seem like they're somewhat episodic, specific. but they have, you know, things do change certain relationships for the rest of their time on the series, and
yeah,
we're looking ahead.
I have not been watching ahead very much, so I think I will when I'm in Michigan, because at my cabin we have one of those old like console televisions that are like in the wood box like everybody had in the 80s. And
that's when they called it a boob tube.
Right. Yes, we have a boob tube at my cabin, and this 40-year-old shag carpeting. I mean, it's nice, and
yeah,
so
baby.
It looks like the 70s. And so I'm just gonna sit in there and watch Dallas on that TV in the next couple weeks, and it's gonna be amazing. I'm
so happy. Yeah, baby.
I hook it up to. I bought a DVD player.
Okay, gotcha.
In the back, it's, you know, you hook it up with RCA cords and everything, like super old school.
But. Yeah. That's what I do in the other room.
Do you have rabbit ears?
It doesn't have rabbit ears because it's like the wood box one. It's one of the, I don't know how big it is, but like, you know, one of those that you'd have in your living room back in the day.
Oh,
console TV.
Yeah, those. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like
post a picture of it. Well, I'll go and take a picture and then post it when I get to internet.
It's like the old episodes of Married with Children when they were like, okay, family, assume Fox viewing positions, and they had the tin foil on their head, you know, they were like like this. And they love to make fun of Fox.
Who doesn't?
So actually that's kind of crude, but out of the father on Seventh Heaven, Cliff Huxtable, and Al Bundy. Who would have thought Al Bundy would have ended up the better dad than the other two?
I know, right?
Right?
Reverend Camden and Dr. Huxtable. No, thank you.
I am never going to get over the Bill Cosby thing, ever. Like, that has fucked with my head. Like, he was such, like, a father figure to our generation that I just...
I know.
And to find out he's a monster is just...
And now he's
heartbreaking on so many levels.
And now he's in jail, and his nickname is Pudding Pop.
Ooh.
They say he's a reformer in prison now.
And he's legally blind. Blind.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
And he counsels these people and reforms them. That's what he does. And people like him, and nobody. And I was like, you can't.
You can't reform that.
I shouldn't say that.
Mm. Right. It's awful. Ugh.
It
wasn't just one or two women.
It was
many women.
That was the problem. Well, I mean, all of them, but that was...
It was scores and scores of them.
Mm-hmm. And that story of just, like, him drugging them. Like, that is, like, serial killer almost behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, what? That's so awful.
There's the ones you got to watch out for.
Right? God, if you can't trust...
Never trust a man in a sweater carrying a... Never
if
trust
you can't
a man...
Trust
in a sweater
Dr.
carrying
Huxtable?
A...
Who can you trust?
Never trust a man in a sweater carrying a pudding pop.
Yes.
We know now.
Lessons. Yes. Rainbow, the more you know. You know?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well.
Thank you guys for joining us. We hope that you're enjoying this. And if you are, please give us a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That would be super. Even if you don't listen to it on Apple Podcasts,
give us 5 stars anyway.
I feel like it does the most good if it's reviewed on Apple Podcasts. So that would be super awesome of you to do that, because it really helps us. And we love to read what you think.
Because I did get some positive feedback from someone named Miss Dallas. On Instagram.
Cool.
That was in a personal inbox message, because we were talking about something else. But she's enjoying it. She didn't know it was me at first, but she was really getting into it. So.
Cool. Well, thank you, Miss Dallas. That's super cool to hear. And if you, we would love to actually like interact with you. We're having a lot of fun on our Facebook group. It is the Ewing Barbecue Podcast, and you just have to asked to join, and we will accept. And then, I don't know, we're just talking about, like, our favorite things, our least favorite things, and I don't know, we're just having fun.
And if you go on there within the last week or so, or whenever this airs from back, you can look down, and I did post pictures of the Ewing, the South Fork Trailer Park.
Oh, yeah, which are awesome. So cool. I want to go
there
now.
If you go to the website, you'll see that the streets are all named like Cliff Lane, Lucy Lane, and like just named after all the different characters. And you can actually buy a slot in the trailer park and live there.
So, huh.
Life goals.
Life goals. I want to live in a trailer park. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, and we have an Instagram, which is Ewing BBQ, and we have a Twitter, which is BBQ Ewing, and Sarah puts lots of cool polls on there. So go take
those. I've got to do some new ones this week. I was just trying to let it go a little further because I feel like I'm always giving stuff away with the choices of answers, but nobody knows. So.
And yeah, I'm going to slip in there and start posting some. We all might actually start posting some of our pictures from trips to Dallas and
pictures
with various cast members and memorabilia and stuff that we have and
totally do that.
Stuff that we don't have that we want and any other things. And we'll also probably try to keep up some what are the Dallas cast members up to now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
And we will try to tag various Dallas cast members on our Twitter page.
Yeah.
As well, so they know we're out there.
Yeah.
And there might be other surprises coming.
Oh, I have. Did you guys read? I did read on Twitter the other day that Patrick Duffy cut his ponytail.
Oh, finally.
For charity?
For a role, they wanted him to have short hair, and he was like, "Well, okay, it's fine. Hair grows."
I didn't mind it when we saw him at the 40th, but I just thought it was weird for him.
It was weird, but I loved it.
When I saw him on Station 19 on ABC and that season finale one,
that episode.
That thing was out of control. It needed its own zip code. So I was like, "This is getting a little too outlandish here. Let's just reel it back in." You thought Gary Ewing would have been driven off South Fork. Bobby would have been driven off with that thing.
Oh,
Jock would have said, you're out of here.
Right. He would not have been a fan. I loved it. But anyway, thank you for joining us. We hope you're having a great summer. And we will see you next week. Until then, bye.
Bye, y'all.
Y'all come back. Have fun.
Chances are it's yours, J.R. And if it isn't, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to tell Daddy that it isn't yours, it's somebody else's? What's he going to think about you then?